It's April 22nd, 2021, Earth Day and my birthday. This is Elizabeth Tuppett Caverly. Lou Caverly and I are bringing you The Divided Kingdom, the cutting-edge news program many of you have come to know and trust since 2003. God is our top producer and provider as we strive to fulfill the watchman commands of Ezekiel chapter 33. Some of you precious listeners have lately written wonderful notes of encouragement to us, and a few of you have helped with very needed contributions of money and stamps. We thank you from the bottom of our hearts. The next time we'll need a lot of help will be about the middle of May. You can write checks out only to WWCR. We can't take personal checks. Or you can send cash or a money order to Lou Caverly, Post Office Box 28, Bethlehem, capital Bethlehem, Maryland, zip 21609. And again, that's Lou Caverly at P.O. Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. Any help you can give us without taking away from your families is much appreciated. You know, women don't like to tell their age. That's a fact. Earth Day started in 1970, so it's 51 years old. But I'm in the same category, maybe, as Jack Benny, the late comedian, who always claimed to stay 39 years old. I like to think of a touching episode in my life. Listeners, it was 2012, and Lou and I were visiting in Pennsylvania, an elderly relative in a Pennsylvania assisted living facility. We gave our dear friend and relative Mid an early Christmas gift and joked about the time she babysat my brother and me and accidentally ate the dog food scraps my mother had left in the kitchen. During that visit, I also saw an elderly man I didn't immediately recognize. He was Wayne, father of my childhood friend Beverly. Beverly on her shrill clarinet and I on my blaring, blasting trumpet drove both our mothers almost stir-crazy as we practiced at both of our homes. Through the fog of memory, this former truck driver, octogenarian, Wayne, now peered at me and said, "Elizabeth, I remember when you were 16. Then he gallantly reached out and kissed my hand, saying, "Stay 16 forever." And so, you know, this was really something. Indeed, the earth renews with the Bible time of the singing of the birds. This spring, 2021, Lou and I just cherish it more than ever. During this time, as we hope that COVID is receding, God's call to warn his people, broadcasting on WWCR, LWRN.net, Global Star Radio, and KStarTalkRadio.com. You can visit their websites, and you can check out the times on the schedules that you can hear us. You can go to our website, DividedKingdomRadio.com, and we hope and pray you will tell others. Others, it's time to be warned. Events are happening. Sometimes we're in Revelation, we think. Sometimes we're in Matthew 24. Sometimes maybe we're just here on earth in 2021, in which evil is trying to completely overtake the good in America and worldwide. So remember, as the Lord leads you, tell others about DividedKingdomRadio.com.
Elizabeth, happy 39th. Maybe 39 forever. And not 16 is even better. I've known you since 1978 and been privileged to be your husband since 1984.
And a great one, too, Lou.
Thank you. You have mine and the radio audience's love and gratitude for all you are and all you do.
Well, I just thank my precious Savior, Jesus Christ, for this life's work and for all you dear listeners are and all the sharing and prayers that you have given us, as well as the world.
Last week began part one of The War on Us. Visit our website, DividedKingdomRadio.com, if you missed that program.
And that was April 15th.
Yes. Our satirical characters visited the stalling out scene when the mobile vax vans were halted and Johnson & Johnson vaccinations abruptly stopped.
Also, Lou, you reported on Alex Jones's trip to the border, exposing Catholic charities in Donna, Texas, as the hub where children, perhaps en route to become sex slaves or even worse, were being given bus tickets, one group being taken away in a hatchback.
Yes, and after you mentioned the Vatican connections, alleged in sex slave mind control victim Kathy O'Brien's book, The Transformation of America, we wanted to know if some other diocese got the word to do damage control, paint a pretty poster child scene of government and Vatican goodness. We begin with illegal migrant children from El Paso, Texas, arrive in Erie, Pennsylvania. More children are expected to follow. This was by Jim Hoft from the Gateway Pundit, April 15th. Around 146 illegal immigrant children, who range in age from 7 to 12 years, arrived in Erie on Tuesday night. They will receive a temporary shelter at a Summit Township facility on Oliver Road. Each room has six children assigned in the 648 capacity dormitory with 265 beds. More children are expected, but it is not confirmed when these new arrivals will arrive. Trish Danner, spokesperson for the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, said that the Department of Health and Human Services may eventually contract local teachers to instruct English, geography, and math for the children. The children, 146 girls, arrived at the Erie International Airport around 9 p.m. on a direct three-hour flight from El Paso, Texas. The Boeing 737, a government-contracted flight, taxied to nearby North Coast Air, where the children deboarded into three buses bound for a dormitory at the Pennsylvania International Academy in Summit Township. A physician, dentist, and nurse performed on-site screenings, and each child was provided a bag of clean clothes, shoes, and toiletries before being directed to the shower area, according to the department. Trish Danner, spokesperson for the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, said the children were largely upbeat, with one caseworker telling her that some girls were acting, quote, like it was a slumber party, unquote.
Gosh, this sounds like Pollyanna time, doesn't it?
It really does.
Oh, yes. It's almost as though they have a private governess. They have all of these things that maybe some of the poorest children in the burned-out blue cities in America don't have. But I think this is suspect. It's just like overkill. This is propaganda.
It does seem
too
good.
It seems that way. I hope I'm wrong. Go ahead. Pick up that story, Lou.
Yes. Ms. Dana said, quote, after they showered, they felt like new kids. Some hadn't been able to shower in 15 days, unquote. Dana said the majority of the 146 children have relatives in the USA.
Well, you know, the thing is, Lou, too many Americans are now awake and have heard of even the worst hidden cover-ups. Many of them heard about that great American, the lawyer Lynn Wood, who has exposed the political abomination of having political personages blackmailed by use of a child, a camera, I can read my writing now. I thought I had rope. No, a child, a camera, a rape, and sometimes using a pistol to murder the child. And then you see the camera takes the picture, and the whole blueprint of blackmail is put into the archives so that the politicians can be bent. Their will be bent to the globalist goals. So when Time Magazine for April 26th, May 3rd presents this article, American Quandary, Conspiracy Theorists Are Winning Local Elections, Communities Are Struggling to Fight Back, by Vera Bergengruen, many simply believe the very thing that Time is debunking. Now, here's an excerpt from Vera Bergengruen's article. In November, Lucas Hartwell, a high school senior in Grand Blanc, Michigan, noticed something strange about his school district's newest board member. Amy Facinello's Twitter feed was full of apocalyptic images and skulls made of smoke. There were cryptic calls for fellow, quote, patriots and, quote, digital soldiers, end of quote, to join an uprising, and vows that nothing could, quote, stop what is coming. In the post she shared, the COVID-19 pandemic was cast as a dark plot engineered by Bill Gates, while George Floyd's killing was, quote, exposed as deep state psyop. Facinello, elected that month, was now one of seven people in charge of shaping Hartwell's education. After a few hours of research, Hartwell had a name for her bizarre ideas, QAnon. He shared her posts on social media, directing people to a Wikipedia page about the right-wing conspiracy theory, which alleges that a sinister cabal of Satan-worshipping pedophiles is running the country. Now, interestingly, in that short excerpt that I read to you, it's rather clever that some things are mentioned with some other things. You see, for instance, something that seems completely false. George Floyd's killing was exposed as deep state psyop. To any of us watchers here in America of television, we saw the foot stamping on George Floyd's neck. We heard him crying out. We saw this go on and on. We saw this. Nobody can tell us it didn't happen. That was a murderer. And I, for one, am glad that the jury agreed this was murder. There's no evidence whatsoever that this was a deep state psyop. So whether or not Amy Facinello's Twitter feed said this, it's mixed in to discredit some other things that we have given you evidence for. There's plenty of stuff out there about Bill Gates documenting Event 201, documenting his plans, his eugenics plans to cull the population, documenting the past atrocities in Africa with vaccines. There's plenty of stuff there. Now, it's interesting that they picked this high school kid, you see. Someone has recruited him to go after Amy Facinello. Now, farther into this article, American Quandary, we then have sort of a gallery of pictures, Time's pantheon of conspiracy theorists. Of course, we would say brave men and women of decency and truth. And here are some of them. And Time says, Conspiracy Brigade. Dozens of QAnon-linked candidates ran for local office in 2020. Many of them won. We don't even know whether there is such a thing as QAnon. Is it one more CIA mockingbird thing that's put there to discredit real patriots? We don't really know. Now, here we get these profiles, and this is directly from Time magazine. Amy Facinello, school board member, Grand Blanc, Michigan, shared dozens of QAnon posts encouraging fellow, quote, patriots on Twitter, they can never break our spirit. The next one is Tito Ortiz, mayor, pro tem, Huntington Beach, California, called COVID-19 population control by the left and sold merchandise with QAnon slogans. Okay, let's get a few more of these deplorables, Hillary would say. Katie Williams, school board member, Las Vegas. She's especially attractive. Looks like she's maybe in her 30s, long-haired, very good-looking face. I mean, with integrity. To me, that's my impression of her face. Posted QAnon child trafficking conspiracies on Twitter, accusing Joe Biden and Chrissy Teigen of pedophilia. Those were some big allegations, weren't they? William Armacost, mayor, and I believe this town is something like Seguin, Washington, encouraged residents listening to his radio show to seek out a QAnon YouTube video. And the last one is Eve Dobler-Drew, school board member, San Luis, and I really don't know that town, Lou. Abuspa, yep. California. I'm not really sure about that.
It might be San Luis Obispo, I think, maybe.
Is that it?
San Luis
Obispo, California. Thanks for that.
You're welcome.
And Time Magazine says, quote, spread white right-wing conspiracies and worried followers that Melinda Gates was satanic. We have some things we'll have to present on in a later program. There are photographs of Melinda Gates wearing an upside-down cross, whatever that means. Yes, these whistleblowers are the moms and pops in your neighborhoods and on your school boards now.
Last time in part one of the War on Us, we gave you this headline. Former Pfizer VP says, your government is lying to you in a way that could lead to your death. This appeared in Natural News by the news editors, April 8, 2021. Dr. Michael Yeardon, Pfizer's former vice president and chief scientist for allergy and respiratory, who spent 32 years in the industry leading new medicine research and retired from the pharmaceutical giant with, quote, the most senior research position, unquote, in his field, spoke with LifeSite News. And this was republished, an article by Patrick Delaney from LifeSiteNews.com. He addressed the demonstrably false propaganda from governments in response to COVID-19, including the, quote, lie, unquote, of dangerous variants, the totalitarian potential for vaccine passports, and the strong possibility where you're dealing with a, quote, conspiracy, unquote, which could lead to something far beyond the carnage experienced in the wars and massacres of the 20th century. His main points include, one, there is no possibility, and those are his own words, no possibility current variants of COVID-19 will escape immunity. It is just a lie. Two, yet governments around the world are repeating this lie, indicating that we are witnessing not just convergent opportunism, but a conspiracy. That word, again, is his own, conspiracy.
And, Lou, we think this means that we hear about variants, different kinds of mutations of the COVID-19 that the drug makers, the pharmaceutical giants, want to make us think that we're going to have new vaccines for each variant. And,
yes,
of course, Yeardon thinks that if it works for one, it will work for all of them.
That's exactly right. And wrapping up his point two, meanwhile, media outlets and big tech platforms are committed to the same propaganda and the censorship of the truth. Three, pharmaceutical companies have already begun to develop unneeded top-up, and that's in quotes, that is booster vaccines for the variants. The companies are planning to manufacture billions of vials in addition to the current experimental COVID-19 vaccine campaign. Four, regulatory agencies like the U.S. Food and Drug Administration and the European Medicines Agency have announced that since these top-up vaccines will be so similar to the prior injections which were approved for emergency use authorization, drug companies will not be required to perform any clinical safety studies.
Isn't that nice? In other words, this kind of a temporary emergency can go on forever, and these harmful, really untested drugs can just continue to be jabbed into millions more of people if they have their way.
That's right. And as point number five, thus, this virtually means that design and implementation of repeated and coerced mRNA vaccines, quote, go from the computer screen of a pharmaceutical company into the arms of hundreds of millions of people, injecting some superfluous genetic sequence for which there's absolutely no need or justification, unquote. Point six, why are they doing this? Since no benign reason is apparent, the use of vaccine passports along with a, quote, banking reset, unquote, could issue in a totalitarianism unlike the world has ever seen. Recalling the evil of Mao, Stalin, and Hitler, mass depopulation remains a logical outcome. The fact that this is, at least, could be true, means everyone must fight like crazy to make sure that system never forms. Dr. Yeardon began identifying himself as merely a boring guy who went to work for a big drug company. This is his own quote. Listening to the main national broadcast and reading the broadsheet newspapers, unquote. Continuing, he said, quote, but in the last year, I have realized that my government and its advisors are lying in the faces of the British people about everything to do with this coronavirus, unquote.
They are talking the same sort of future script, which is, we don't want you to move around because of these pesky varmints, these variants, which I call samients, by the way, because they are pretty much the same, but they're all saying this, and they're all saying, don't worry, there will be top-up vaccines that will cope with the potential escapees. They're all saying this when it is obviously nonsense. Possible end game, vaccine passports tied to spending allowances, thorough control. I think the end game is going to be everyone receives a vaccine. Everyone on the planet is going to find themselves persuaded, cajoled, not quite mandated, hemmed in to take a jab. When they do that, every single individual on the planet will have a name or unique digital ID and a health status flag, which will be vaccinated or not. And whoever possesses that sort of single database operable centrally, applicable everywhere to control, to provide, as it were, a privilege, you can either cross this particular threshold or conduct this particular transaction or not, depending on what the controllers of that one human population database decide. And I think that's what this is all about, because once you've got that, we become playthings, and the world can be as the controllers of that database want it. I have to interject there. There are hopeful signs. We saw a headline on the Bedford Gazette, very old newspaper up there in western Pennsylvania, for the weekend, and a headline was that the Pennsylvania residents are getting very reluctant about the COVID-19 vaccines. They're suspicious, as well they might be. I have told on the air, this is Elizabeth speaking, that in summer 1962, former President Eisenhower met with a group of Republican leaders from the local area there of Bedford County in the Bedford Springs Hotel, that storied resort hotel, and he told them that you are fighting for your lives. You don't know it yet, but when the time comes, you will be ready. So there's a great awakening going on all over this country. People are finding out from alternative news sources on the internet, even though Google, Facebook, Twitter are deprogramming people and deplatforming them, taking them off, the truth will still get out. Urban rumors will leak out. Tell people to go to DividedKingdomRadio.com and hear our April programs, especially April 1st, April 8th, April 15th. Our last program was very important. That was April 15th with the Pockets couple. And that was Sally Lou Pockets. And do I hear it from Pat?
Why, yes. I'm here.
And how about our son Caligula?
Well, yeah, I'm here too.
Yes, there was a very serious topic. They were reporting on the mobile vax vans coming to Caroline County, one of only two places in the nation. And strangely, that's a poor county where Lou and I live. Two out of all the hundreds, maybe thousands of counties, I don't know, in the U.S., why they picked this one. But again, we are what they call the underprivileged or the underserved. We might say maybe we're at the socioeconomic lower part of the deplorables, just like the poor black neighborhoods. Why is the rush to get the vaccines into these places? Why is it population culling? We really do have to ask ourselves that. Now, back to Michael Yaden's ideas. He says, he said, we become playthings, and the world can be as the controllers of that database want it. For example, you might find that after a banking reset, you can only spend through using an app that actually feeds off this database, your ID, your name, and your health status flag. And yes, certainly, crossing an international border is the most obvious use for these vaccine passports, as they are called. But I've heard talk of them already that they could be necessary for you to get into public spaces and close public spaces. I expect that if they wanted to, you would not be able to leave your house in the future without the appropriate privilege on your app. But even if that's not the true intent of the vaccine campaign, it doesn't matter. The fact that it could be true means everyone reading this should fight like crazy to make sure that vaccine passport system never forms. With such a system, here is an example of what they could make you do, and I think this is what they're going to make people do. You could invent a story that is about a virus and its variations, its mutations over time. You could invent the story and make sure you took it through the captive media. Make sure that no one can counter it by censoring alternative sources. Then people are now familiar with this idea that this virus mutates, which it does, and that it produces variants, which is true as well, which could escape your immune system. And that's a lie. So in other words, that whole little narrative that we went through, Yaden says at the end, this is a lie. But we've seen how CNN and MSNBC, even Fox, when they had the early reporting desk for the election November 4th, there's treachery. There are lies. There is a concerted Central Bureau of talking points to keep us all down. Now, Yaden goes on, but nevertheless, we're going to tell you it's true. And then when we tell you that it's true and we say, but we've got the cure, here's a top-up vaccine, you'll get a message based on this one global, this one ID system. Bing! It will come up and say, Dr. Yaden, time for your top-up vaccine. And by the way, it will say, your existing immune privileges remain valid for 4 weeks. But if you don't get your top-up vaccine in that time, you will unfortunately detrimentally be an out person. And you don't want that, do you? So that's how it will work. And people will just walk up and they'll get their top-up vaccine.
Here's the real scary part. Global medicine regulators like the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, that is the FDA, the Japanese Medicines Agency, the European Medicines Agency have gotten together and announced, since top-up vaccines will be considered so similar to the ones that we have already approved for emergency use authorization, we are not going to require the drug companies to perform any clinical safety studies. So, you've got on the one hand governments and their advisors that are lying to you that variants are different enough from the current virus that even if you're immune from natural exposure or vaccination, you're at risk and you need to come and get this top-up vaccine. So I think neither of those are true. So why is the drug company making the top-up vaccines and with the regulators having got out of the way? You go from the computer screen of a pharmaceutical company into the arms of hundreds of millions of people, some superfluous genetic sequence for which there is absolutely no need or justification. And if you wanted to introduce a characteristic which could be harmful and could even be lethal, and you can even tune it to say, let's put it in some gene that will cause liver injury over a 9-month period or cause your kidneys to fail, but not until you encounter this kind of organism that would be quite possible. Biotechnology provides you with limitless ways, frankly, to injure or kill billions of people. And since I can't think of a benign explanation for any of these steps, variants, top-up vaccines, no regulatory studies, it's not only that I cannot think of a benign explanation, the steps described and the scenario described, and the necessary sort of resolution to this false problem is going to allow what I just described, unknown and unnecessary gene sequences injected into the arms of potentially billions of people for no reason. I'm very worried that pathway will be used for mass depopulation because I can't think of any benign explanation.
Yes, and Lou, this next article just backs up the fears and worries of former Pfizer Vice President Michael Yaden, because here we see some of his worries about this thing being underway with the present Pfizer CEO. Here's the headline, Shane Trejo, Big League Politics, April 15, 2021. Pfizer CEO claims third COVID-19 vaccine shot will likely be necessary after 12 months. Pfizer CEO Albert Bourla has stated that a third COVID-19 vaccine shot will likely be needed after 12 months to stave off the virus. In a predictable announcement, Bourla said that the public will keep having to line up for these experimental shots over and over again as Big Pharma racks up massive profits bolstered by a public crippled by media-generated fear. Quote, a likely scenario is that there will likely be a need for a third dose somewhere between 6 and 12 months, and then from there, there will be an annual revaccination. But all of that needs to be confirmed. And again, the variants will play a key role, Bourla said to CNBC's Bertha Coombs at an event with CVS Health. It is extremely important to suppress the pool of people that can be susceptible to the virus, he added. Big League Politics has reported on how the virus regime will become permanent, and shots will be enforced through a wide variety of coercive measures made possible by technology. Quote, a video released by California contains propaganda meant to cajole state residents into accepting digital health IDs for children as necessary to reopen schools. There's never been anything like this virus in our lifetime. Often it's hard to see the effects it's having on our children, the propaganda video states. A kid's voice is used to tug at the heartstrings of the viewer, so they are more likely to comply with absurd mandates. California then introduced their new partnership with Microsoft, giving a massive globalist corporation access to a treasure trove of the biometric data from children, an apparent violation of the Fourth Amendment of the U.S. Constitution under the guise of safety. And Lou, we have to interject here. You listeners probably remember in an earlier program we talked about the partnership between Microsoft and the trust stamp. All of this is in the works, and IBM was going to be playing a part. So there are a lot of things that would like to march us right into the Hitler years redux. Now, let's get right back to this propaganda piece here in California. Each week, you can schedule your free on-campus COVID test. The results are displayed in your daily pass, and if you choose to take your test off-campus, you can post your results in your daily pass, the video states. And the moment vaccinations are available, you'll simply be able to schedule yours through your daily pass. But the real magic is your daily health check. Just answer a few simple health questions every day, and like magic, your entrance ticket appears. The video adds, oh, Lou, this is really citizen, see your papers.
Oh, yes.
Your papers.
It sure is.
The video then shows children being forced to comply with these invasive checks to be able to go to school, with folksy-sounding music in the backdrop to make the process of subjugation seem quaint and fun. A cheap emotional appeal involving children was placed at the end of the video to influence viewers broken by the cruelty of the scamdemic. So how did it go? The father asks the daughter in the video after picking her up from school. Dad, I have to admit I was scared at first, but then I felt so safe. It was so good to be back. Thanks for keeping me safe. I love you so much, the daughter says in response. Soon, it will be impossible to participate in society without receiving these shots on a regular basis. The technocracy is taking shape, and the ramifications are going to be disastrous for public health and well-being. This is Elizabeth now again adding, this will not necessarily be the scenario that happens. It's up to people, to all of us Americans, either to succumb to apathy and tyranny or take righteous action. Have you told friends, family, and church members to visit DividedKingdomRadio.com? Save their lives. Help them know the truth.
And I'll interject here before I read the next article. As I hear these, this talk about the annual booster vaccines, you know, Elizabeth and I, when we were young, got the polio vaccine, smallpox vaccine. And to this day, many decades later, we never needed a booster for those.
No. And we both had some repercussions physically.
Yes,
from that.
Yeah.
But I have said on air I would still choose to have that shot even if it brought on my lupus, because days later I broke out in a rash that was called psoriasis, and I had a very high fever too. But a doctor many years later said, I think it was lupus. See, it may have tipped the balance. I perhaps would have never gotten lupus because I've been in remission for many years except for needing to stay out of the sunlight. Many people don't even believe me when I tell them I have lupus. But at the same time, there were others probably who were tipped into a far more serious type of lupus. In fact, African American women have often very serious kidney damage with it. But our point still is, when I think, my point rather, I think of a young woman in my hometown who had polio and her whole half side of her body was disfigured or incapacitated, her face. And I've thought I would rather live with lupus than have not had the polio shot. And I realize SV40 was in much of it. That's a cancer-causing virus. But you see, God is in control. He's in control. When we turn our lives over to Him, He has a purpose. He knew how sick or well He would let me be. He knew that we would come to this radio work and we would talk about it. And Lou had some serious physical repercussions, too, that are probably undoubtedly relating to the polio vaccines he had. But again, his mind is good. His physical self is very good for the age he is. God can protect all of us, but God loves it when we stand in a gap. So we're really asking you, we have devoted now, 18 years to struggling to get loan after loan after loan. Well, at one point, we had a credit card debt of $51,000. Now, by Earth standards, that's hopeless. But God helped us to get more loans, to consolidate debt, and to keep going. And in just the last 4 years, before that, we only had one woman who ever gave us money. She's now a widow, and she gave us $100 a month for many years. And I think God will truly bless her for helping us. And then Captain Darrell Everhart, and he needs your prayers. Listeners, please pray for him. He came on our program in the year 2017, and he since has had a stroke, and there's some deterioration on the side of his body from where the stroke hit. So please pray for his healing, his miraculous healing. That's Captain Darrell Everhart. And he was the first one. We didn't know he was going to do this. He pleaded with all of you, please send some help to Lou and Elizabeth. They can't carry this too much longer themselves. And you responded. And, you know, to you it might be a small amount, but it's a large amount in the way it helps us. And we have no commercials. And we do try to tell the truth. For instance, we also want to remain true to our Christian principles. We cannot bring people like David Icke on our program. And if you hear him on some other programs, you'd better know that in all of his books, he viciously goes after institutionalized religion, and that means Christianity. He has this theory about, this New Age theory, we're all divine, and once we're released into that kind of power, we have higher vibrations, all that kind of malarkey. It's not very different from Hitler's beliefs Nietzsche, that we'd have this Superman and all this. So be careful. Be careful what you're listening to. We will not betray you with this kind of heresy. Because it certainly is anti-Christian. Let's move right on now.
The next article is entitled Waiting for the Trigger Event. This was Wednesday, April 7th from Natural News. It begins with a quote, and I'll reveal where the quote came from, and I must admit I had to look it up to see where it came from. Here's the quote. Governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes. And accordingly, our experience has shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. That's the quote, and it actually comes from Thomas Jefferson, the Declaration of Independence. And here's the article by Wes Reiner republished from ncrenegade.com. I don't know what else there is to say on the evil and tyranny that we are faced with at this point in our history. People seem to have lost their collective minds, and insanity seems to rule the day. Everywhere you look, strange and evil things are happening. We have allowed our country to be stolen from us in a fraudulent election. We have done nothing. We have allowed tyrants to tell us how to live our lives and conduct business. We have done nothing. We have allowed our borders to be wide open for anyone to come here illegally. We have done nothing. People are being bribed with the promise of going back to normal to take an experimental jab. We have done nothing. I am appalled and puzzled at the number of people who are taking this experimental, quote-unquote, vaccine. I have had a few conversations with some of those who have chosen to get the jab. Honestly, I think critical thinking is a thing of the past. People I once would have considered very intelligent have proven otherwise by donating their body for a real-time experiment. It seems most are taking the jab in hopes that their life can return to, quote, normal, unquote, or pre-pandemic times. I don't even know what to say to people anymore. It seems I am in a minority with my lack of trust for our government and their rush to vaccinate the population. I had one person tell me that they took it because they wanted to be able to travel. My response to that was, the day I have to show papers to freely travel will be the day I start killing tyrants. Conversation ended with that remark.
Next we have, from naturalnews.com, April 13th, 2021, written by Lance D. Johnson, Pfizer's experimental mRNA vaccine takes out famous CNN legal analyst who celebrated the jab. A celebrity legal analyst named Midwin Charles passed away after receiving Pfizer's COVID vaccine. She joined thousands of other people who have reportedly died in the days and weeks after getting their experimental COVID-19 vaccinations. Midwin Charles passed away at the young age of 47. She was a regular contributor to CNN and MSNBC. She received her first dose of Pfizer's experimental mRNA vaccine on March 1st and was quick to promote the vaccines on social media. On Twitter, Charles boasted about the efficacy, the efficiency rather, I believe it is, efficiency of the vaccination process and encouraged others to line up and do their part, saying, "Let's do this." No doubt CNN would report her death as a coincidence while encouraging others to keep taking the COVID euthanasia shots. Young woman suddenly perishes after receiving COVID vaccines. In the first 3 months since launching the COVID vaccines, the Vaccine Adverse Events Reporting System, VAERS, and that's capital V-A-E-R-S, has recorded over 228 cases of anaphylactic shock after administration of the COVID vaccines. A person may suffer anaphylaxis within seconds or minutes after they are exposed to something their body is allergic to. Anaphylaxis is a severe, potentially life-threatening allergic reaction. Many people have no idea what their bodies are allergic to or whether they are allergic to one of the many chemicals in a vaccine. According to the Bayo Clinic, anaphylactic shock causes your immune system to release a flood of chemicals that can cause you to go into shock. Your blood pressure drops suddenly and your airways narrow, blocking breathing. If anaphylaxis isn't treated right away, it can be fatal. According to social media posts, Midwin Charles carried an EpiPen into her vaccine appointments as a precaution. After praising the vaccination, she admitted that she was deathly allergic to peanuts. She said she carried an EpiPen to the vaccination clinic in case I went into anaphylaxis shock. Medical authorities encourage people with pre-existing allergies and autoimmune conditions to have an EpiPen on hand during and after the COVID-19 vaccinations. Midwin Charles didn't suffer an anaphylactic attack up front, but her body did experience mild symptoms like fatigue and soreness in the arm. On her Instagram account, she did report a more serious symptom, shortness of breath. This was a sign of more serious issues to come. The wrongful death injuries from the COVID vaccines are not limited to anaphylactic shock. And before we hear this more in depth, We have to mention again that tonight is part two of the War on Us. There will undoubtedly be a continuation next week of part three, the War on Us. Now, back to this article. Potential candidates for vaccination are being misled and not provided adequate informed consent. Many people are told that severe vaccine side effects are extremely rare and only consist of anaphylaxis. Culture icon Elon Musk recently tweeted his support for the vaccines, ignorantly proclaiming that any adverse reaction is rare and can easily be addressed with an EpiPen. Quote, to be clear, I do support vaccines in general and COVID vaccines specifically, said Musk. The science is unequivocal. In very rare cases, there is an allergic reaction, but this is easily addressed with an EpiPen. And I think right here, Lou, we need to insert the remarks made by former President Trump this week. This will never be as timely as now. If you can locate that, we're going to insert this. It's appalling. Do you have it?
I do.
Go
ahead. The headline reads, Donald Trump blasts, quote, deranged pseudoscience, unquote, of anti-vax movement in statement shilling for Big Pharma COVID shots. This is by Shane Trejo, Big League Politics, April 19th, 2021. Former President Donald Trump issued a press release on Monday in which he shilled for Big Pharma's COVID-19 vaccines amidst a widespread news of negative side effects associated with the shots. Trump hammered all critics of the vaccine regime in an email blast to his supporters, claiming that government officials who questioned Big Pharma's unverified assurances of the efficacy of their COVID-19 shots are peddling what he calls, quote, deranged pseudoscience that fuels the anti-vax movement, unquote. Trump went on to say, the federal government pause on the J&J shot makes no sense. Why is the Biden White House letting insanely risk-averse bureaucrats run the show, unquote. Trump is demanding of the Biden administration to ignore the ill effects of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. These vaccines were derived from the tissue of mutilated fetuses harvested during abortion procedures and are causing patients to suffer horrific complications related to blood clots. Trump said, quote, just six people out of the nearly 7 million who got the Johnson & Johnson vaccine reported blood clots. The condition is more common in the general population, and every vaccine, indeed every medication, carries some risk, including the Moderna and Pfizer jabs, unquote. While Trump may be correct about other vaccines being as dangerous as the Johnson & Johnson jab, he is now demonizing all opposition to the shots with slurs commonly used by globalists to demonize patriots with the courage to resist technocratic and unconstitutional public health mandates. He said, quote, with COVID cases still rising nationwide, it's sheer lunacy to delay millions of vaccinations and feed fears among the vax resistant. Indeed, this moronic move is a gift to the anti-vax movement. The science bureaucrats are fueling that deranged pseudoscience, Trump added to close his press release. Big League Politics reported on how Trump rolled over for a federal money grab by Big Pharma last year in starting his Operation Warp Speed program. And this is from their statement. President Donald Trump has launched Operation Warp Speed to funnel resources toward Big Pharma for the purposes of creating a vaccine shot that will be ready for mass distribution throughout the country by the end of the year. The White House is calling this a Manhattan Project-style project that aims to get vaccines into as many people as quickly as possible.
That's an atom bomb incident.
It sure is, yeah.
Manhattan Project-like.
That's right. In a move that must have technocratic oligarch Bill Gates grinning ear to ear. Operation Warp Speed is clearly another extension of President Trump's bold leadership and unwillingness to accept business-as-usual approaches to addressing the COVID-19 crisis. Those are the words of Michael Caputo, who works as Assistant Secretary for Public Affairs at the Department of Health and Human Services. The project is expected to cost the U.S. taxpayer billions of dollars, that's with a B, with much of that money going to the coffers of Big Pharma, and they hope to have 100 million doses ready by the end of the year. It is unclear if these vaccines would even improve the public health, as the government's own data shows that regular influenza vaccines are only 40% effective. That is to say, only effective 40% of the time. The Trump administration is working along with disgraced globalist organizations like the World Health Organization in using the coronavirus pandemic for a vaccine push. And here's a quote. We are scientists, physicians, funders, and manufacturers who have come together as part of an international collaboration coordinated by the World Health Organization to help speed the availability of a vaccine against COVID-19, dozens of so-called experts declared in a WHO press release.
And yes, Lou, perhaps Trump calls it pseudo-science derangement syndrome, but you know there is such a thing as pseudo-political statesmanship derangement syndrome, isn't there?
Yeah, that's a very good point.
And now we go back again to things that we're hearing there from Lance Johnson, Pfizer's experimental mRNA vaccine, taking out the CNN legal analyst who celebrated the jab. And so we're hearing now in this article, the truth is that there are over two dozen serious health problems associated with vaccination, especially with these new experimental mRNA programs. EpiPens do not always save the person's life either. Elon Musk joins a long list of celebrity figures who mislead the public on a multitude of serious health issues associated with these vaccines. In fact, the sheer frequency of adverse events associated with these experimental vaccines has prompted the CDC to strongly recommend that vaccine clinics keep intubation equipment on hand. The CDC advises that, quote, trained personnel qualified to recognize and treat symptoms of anaphylaxis should be available at all vaccine locations at all times. On one account, a 68-year-old Kansas woman, Jean M. Evans, died shortly after receiving the vaccine. The mother of five suffered from an anaphylactic reaction in the vaccine clinic. The EpiPen was unable to counter the reaction, and the woman passed away at the Stormont Vail Hospital the very next day. In just 3 months, the Pfizer mRNA vaccine alone has been responsible for 28,046 reported injuries. Now, that doesn't sound like Trump statistics very much, does it, Lou?
It sure doesn't.
And now, this article says, including 1,131 deaths following injection. Okay, instead of addressing this vaccine-induced public health crisis and mass genocide, the government and regulatory agencies are helping the vaccine manufacturers test the shots out on children and preparing for unlawful mandatory vaccine policies at schools across the nation. And now, after that, let's see if we have time to move on right there now to number seven.
Yes, this came from Gateway Pundit. Johnson & Johnson COVID vaccine on pause after FDA, CDC report rare blood clot issues. This was by Kristen Taylor, April 13th, 2021. The Biden administration called for a pause in administering the Johnson & Johnson COVID-19 China coronavirus vaccine Tuesday morning. The FDA and CDC citing six reports of blood clots in women aged 18 to 48, including one fatality, out of about 7 million administered vaccines, called on states to pause the J&J vaccine while the situation is studied. The similar AstraZeneca vaccine deployed in Europe has faced similar rare clotting issues. The New York Times was first to report on the pause.
And now we do have to interject that we've been hearing other reports that there are more widespread problems with women with menstrual irregularities. And you see with this, every month a woman of childbearing age has to shed the lining of her uterus. And so this means a lot of blood flow. But if these vaccines, you see, are helping to clot the blood, there's going to be a much more painful menstrual period and who knows what else, what other effects. So it's not just cut and dry that only a few people are affected. Then how many other men have died of sudden heart attacks And, you know, there are things that perhaps these blood clots are a little bit hidden, too. They're not going to be on every death record. Pick it up, Lou.
Yes. This announcement will not have a significant impact on our vaccination plan, Johnson & Johnson makes up. And this is a quote, by the way, from the White House. Johnson & Johnson vaccine makes up less than 5% of the recorded shots and arms in the United States to date. Based on actions taken by the president earlier this year, the United States has secured enough Pfizer and Moderna doses for 300 million Americans. Over the last few weeks, we have made available more than 25 million doses of Pfizer and Moderna each week. And in fact, this week we will make available 28 million doses of these vaccines. This is more than enough supply to continue the current pace of vaccinations.
And is that it for that article, Lou?
Yes, I think
all right.
Those are the main
points. Now, we see another headline that we certainly will be getting into early next week. Researchers warn mRNA injections may permanently alter human DNA. And this was in Natural News, April 12, 2021. So you see, we're getting a pause on Johnson & Johnson. But what about Moderna and Pfizer and these time bomb things in which we are having our DNA changed? It's very, very serious. This is moving forward. And we have this, again, this deranged pseudo-science. It isn't science if we don't know what the repercussions of all these things are going to be. This is like a computer change, possibly setting us up, you see, with these mRNA additions to our bodies, because we will be set up for the cytokine storms, super inflammatory responses to the next different kind of virus, COVID virus, that's in the wild. And some of the other things would be the ADEs. And these are things, too, that are part of this, making the body be more susceptible to these cytokine storms. So there's so much more that we have to talk about, but Denmark has stopped. They have really stopped AstraZeneca over the deadly blood clots. So, you know, it's not just Johnson & Johnson. There's AstraZeneca, too. There's so much more that we'll have to talk about, and we know that we can put our faith in Jesus Christ here on Earth Day. It is really Jesus Christ's world. This is my Father's world. Yes, the beautiful birds have returned, the flowers, the springtime. Yet Lou and I suspect we're not fully rid of the idea of the ice age. 6 inches of snow in Maine. And what did you hear, Lou, in Cleveland?
At least that much in Cleveland. No
this
school.
Is untypical.
Cleveland.
We'll be researching that, too, a little later. Thank you for listening to The Divided Kingdom. Visit our website, DividedKingdomRadio.com. God bless you. Good night.